If you would, please turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I'm just going to read the first three verses. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I'm going to end up concentrating on verse 3. Now, I know I read verse 3 last week, but we're going to look at a different part of it. The part I want to look at is the first four words, well, the first five words. For we are the circumcision. So who are the circumcision? It's very plain. It's us, not them. Paul states it in verse 1, finally, my brethren. My brethren. In Philippians 1, in verse 1, it's Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. That's who the who is. My brethren, writes the Apostle Paul. But what got me on this is there's something that's been running around my head for a while. And I basically it is because of a fact that I found out. The Apostle Paul, in his epistles in the New Testament, he used the word circumcision 30 times in 26 verses. Now, that's not all that unusual if you're used to reading what the Apostle Paul has written. But do you know how many times circumcision is used in all the Gospels and in the book of Acts? Five. It's only used five times in all four Gospels and the book of Acts. Now, in all the other epistles and the book of Revelation, you know how many times the word circumcision is used? Zero. So I have formed a conclusion from that, that circumcision was important to the Apostle Paul. And I think there's a reason, and we'll get to that after a bit. But now I'm going to go the roundabout way to this text, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now you can't separate any of that. But I'm going to get to that. But in order to get to this point, I kind of got to back up a little bit. Because I want to look at what some of the other things that Paul wrote about circumcision. First in Romans chapter 2 and verses 25 through 29. Romans 2 and verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. Now that, you get to Romans 3, that's a mighty big law. That's a mighty big if. But if thou be a breaker of the law, which we all are, he's going to prove all under sin, Jew and Gentile, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Here's the point. Verse 28. For he is a Jew, which is one... Well, excuse me, for he is not a Jew. I forgot Paul started with the negative. for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But, verse 29, he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Outward circumcision does not matter. The Apostle Paul is clear, crystal clear. Fleshly circumcision does not make one a Jew, a true Jew. You know who wrote this? This is Paul, who used to be Saul of Tarsus. A Jew wrote this. Not only that, he called himself, and he was, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as concerning the law, at one time, this man was a Pharisee. And here he is bad-mouthing fleshly circumcision. You know why? Because it deserved to be. This is contrary to all Jewish teaching, what this man just wrote here. And it is perfectly in line with the scripture. And I'm going to show you that. But this was considered heresy to the Jews. Paul knew that. He wrote to the Galatians, and when he wrote to the Galatians, he told them, if I preach circumcision, then is the offense of the cross ceased. The Jews were offended by this, by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what it made of their fleshly trying to keep the law. But Paul went on, he explained, a man looks on the outside, God looks on the inward. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Circumcision is of the heart. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? He put it this way to the Colossians, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It says, in whom are you also circumcised? Well, that in whom? He had just written in Colossians that in him, in Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Who? In the whom that circumcised you. Circumcision made without hands, which is the circumcision of Christ. Walter, I've come to the point in my mind where I've said it before here, and I'll say it again. There's only one Passover. I want to tell you this. As far as we're concerned, there's only one circumcision. You know? The circumcision of Christ. That's singular. And it's the same for every single child of God. Or you are not a child of God. The circumcision of Christ. But now, like I said, there's 30 mentions in 26 verses all through his epistles. So why do I think Paul spent so much time writing, and I believe he spoke about circumcision? See, because he said, if I preach circumcision, then the offense of the cross is ceased. And there were Jews going around and saying they were believers. They call them, in the when you get into the theology a little bit, they're called Judaizers. They were Jews who said they believed Christ, but then they went around telling people to try and keep the law of Moses, that they needed to be circumcised, that they needed to keep the Sabbath, that they needed to avoid pork. Certain of those came down when Peter and Paul were together. And Paul wrote, Peter went over to them and carried away others with him. And he withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. There is to be absolutely no separation between the children of God. There's only one circumcision, and that's the circumcision of Christ, the circumcision of the heart, the circumcision which is inward. But why I think why this affected Paul so much, and why he preached and talked about it so much and wrote about it so much. Now, this involves a little bit of my thoughts. I want to warn you right now. I think I got scripture for it. I do, but I actually think this has to do with the only message I can say for certain that I believe the Apostle Paul heard while he was still Saul of Tarsus. This is the only example we have in the scripture. I don't know it's the only one, but I do know it's the one that's recorded in the scripture that he was there. And then he confesses it himself later. It has to do with Acts chapter 7 and verses 49 through 46, or 56, excuse me. It actually has to do with the whole chapter of Acts. Was the stoning of Stephen is how it ended up. And Acts chapter 7 and verse 49 says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And what house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?" Verse 51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always," and I want to emphasize that, "always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your father persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." How did this message of Stephen's go over? This is just the end. You can read the rest of it. But here it is. He's telling them they killed the prophets and they killed Jesus Christ. Or Jesus, who is the Christ. They did it themselves. He's still in Jerusalem. It hadn't been that long ago. When they heard these things, they rejoiced and praised God for the truth that was preached. No. They cried among themselves, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Didn't say that either. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And that's Saul of Tarsus. He confesses it later. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, this is Stephen, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The one message. I know Saul was there. Now, what he heard of it, how long he'd been there, I don't know, but he was there at the end of this. And what was the big statement that Stephen said? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You understand, how did Saul react to this message that he heard, this message that Stephen preached? He kept track of the clothing the men dropped before his feet. That's what he did. Chapter 8 and verse 1 says this. This is Luke writing the book of Acts. And Saul was consenting unto his death. You understand? At that time, Saul of Tarsus approved the stoning of Stephen. While this man Stephen was calling upon the name of the Lord, calling upon Jesus Christ. Then we have Paul's own admonition, which he admits to being there, and he admits himself to be. Somebody told Luke this to write it down. And I know Luke and Paul ran around together. But we have Paul's own admonition when he was preaching to those Jews in Jerusalem. When they had went to grab him and take him, and he had been rescued by the Roman captain. This is what he says in the midst of his testimony. This is Acts 22 and verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And like I said, this is some of, you know, my thoughts. I can't say it for sure, but I do see the evidence of what the Apostle Paul wrote to these people, and I believe he preached the same thing he wrote. I think this event, the stoning of Stephen after that message, weighed on Paul's conscience after the Lord converted him. And possibly before. Because this is the one particular incident that Paul related while teaching, going through his testimony. This is the one event where Paul admitted to being somewhere near where the gospel was actually preached. He admitted later on to persecuting the church and talked about it. But there's never any instance of it, of what was heard or what was said. But this is recorded in such detail in two different places. And that one statement, I think, that Stephen uttered about being uncircumcised in heart and ears, and you always resist the Holy Ghost. If you're uncircumcised in heart and ears, you'll always resist the Holy Ghost. That's the condition of man as he is naturally. That statement, the basis for it is found in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16. You don't have to turn there. It says this. This is the Lord speaking. He says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Now he says you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. That's what Stephen said. But you understand here with this, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more. Your stiff neck is because your heart's uncircumcised. The source is bad, therefore the actions and the thoughts are bad. That's what Jesus Christ said. I believe this firmly stuck with Paul, because Paul, being a Jew, being a Hebrew of Hebrews, being as concerning the law, a Pharisee, he knew exactly how the Jews felt about circumcision, because he felt the same way. Romans 4 states that Abraham was imputed righteousness while he was uncircumcised. Paul wrote that. Circumcision came later as a seal of the righteousness of the faith Abraham had while uncircumcised. Now, after I said all that, let's look at Philippians 3 again. Philippians 3 and verse 3, 4. Well, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. That's those that want you circumcised. They want to cut on you. You read some of this stuff and you think, boy, Paul's trying to win friends and influence people. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. He was talking, writing to these Philippians, and he was talking about the people that were around him. And I can tell you this right now, we are surrounded by dogs, evil workers, and the concision, even now in this day. I'm not going to go into that, though, because I got this statement here. For we are the circumcision. Believers, saints in Christ Jesus, Paul's brethren, and I'll tell you, my brethren, are the circumcision. Sinners all, yes. None are worthy. None are deserving. And all know that if they're part of the circumcision. We are the circumcision. Some are Jewish and some are not Jewish. But the circumcision is those who are a Jew inwardly. We are rich, poor, bond, free, old, young, male, female, any other distinguishing thing you want to say. But there's only one circumcision, the circumcision. You know, the question was asked, who makes you to differ? The answer is God. It's the only answer. Jesus Christ. And here's what makes you differ. The circumcision of Christ makes you different. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. That's how you differ. But ye, if you believe, if you trust Christ, if you've had Christ revealed to you, if you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the circumcision. The one who is a Jew inwardly. And then it says this, which worship God in the Spirit. The true circumcision of the heart, guess what? Stops us from always resisting the Holy Ghost. Like our fathers did. We, those that are the circumcision, don't resist the Spirit. We worship God in spirit. We worship God with the inward man. I am here because this is where I want to be. And I hope that's why you're here too. Because I want to hear that man over there preach the word of God. I want to be with the people of God and maybe talk a little bit about my Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Because we can't pray as we ought. But he lets go with groanings and things that can't be uttered. We worship God in the Spirit, and it's His Spirit that's in us. We want to know God as He is. We praise His name as best we can. We thank Him for His grace, His mercy, and His compassion as best we can. And we love Him because He first loved us. And we worship God in spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. We joy in Christ. You read this morning, Paul. Rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in His name. We pray in His name. We sing in His name. We love to hear His gospel preached. And I am a firm believer that you cannot preach Christ Jesus too high. Now, if that makes some people think you're preaching man too low, so be it. Because you can't preach Him too high. We're not capable of even thinking Him too high. Because anything a fallen man thinks in his head, even with the Scriptures, even being a believer, even being an apostle, doesn't come close to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You can't preach Jesus Christ too high. The world doesn't get it, but here's the thing. The circumcision get it. The circumcision get it. Because we are the circumcision, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And the last thing, and have no confidence in the flesh. I said it last week. Paul, an apostle, a disciple of Christ, a man that Christ appeared to on the road to Damascus after he was dead and resurrected. Jesus appeared to him. Of course, Paul didn't know who he was at first, or Saul didn't. Because what did he say to him? He said, "Lord, who art thou? Who art thou?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." That man had no confidence in his flesh or any other flesh. And we shouldn't either have any confidence in the flesh. Matter of fact, you'd better not have any confidence in the flesh. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6 said this. And the Lord God will circumcise thine heart. And the heart of thy seed. To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And with all thy soul. That thou mayest live. That's the circumcision of the heart. You look in the Scriptures. I'll give them a new heart. And then you'll hear it in the New Testament. This is what the prophet prophesied. I'll give them a new heart. I'll put my law in them. And they will love me. That's the circumcision of the heart. And we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice and have no confidence in the flesh. You understand, Paul has connected this sentence together with two definite articles and two conjunctions. Four little words connect all this together, and you cannot separate those statements. Because if you don't worship God in spirit, you've got no reason to rejoice in Christ Jesus. And if you don't rejoice in Christ Jesus, if you don't know Christ Jesus, you are not worshiping God in spirit. Because no man knows the Father except by me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Paul connects these thoughts with these words, and that last one goes right in there with them. You can't separate having no confidence in the flesh from being the circumcision, and from worshiping God in spirit, and from rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. The true circumcision, the inward Jew, from the worship of God in the spirit, there's no way to separate them. Because there is only one thought here. And the thought is, for we are the circumcision. Believers, saints, Christ, Paul wrote this. And this is one of the ones that got me. And he's talking about fleshly circumcision here. He wrote, this man, this Jew wrote, circumcision is nothing.
Right.
And what else did he say? Uncircumcision is nothing.
Right.
But keeping the commandments of God. Romans 3 tells you, we have concluded all under sin. Who's that? That's Jew and Gentile. Because that's all there is. There's Jews and there are not Jews. That's all there is. And then he goes on to tell you that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And we're nothing but sin. The only question is, do you know it? Do you know it? Jesus Christ saves sinners, uncircumcised and circumcised. And you know what? He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart. There's no difference other than the outward in a Jew and a Gentile. Inwardly, we are all sinners. And the only hope for a man is that circumcision of the heart by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. And that is far more than we ever deserved. He gave his life, shed his blood for his people, and he saved his people from their sins. He took them away, and he is going to circumcise the heart of every one that the Father gave him from before the foundation of the world. Our Lord, our Savior, yes, but our Lord, first of all, did this and is doing this for his people today. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. Most of all, thank you for your Son, our Lord, who made everything, keeps everything, and by him all things consist. Thank you, Lord, for what he has done for us, what he has done in us and what he shall do. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.